Baker v. Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, 13-3735. Mr. Walczewski.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. In this case, Milwaukee County failed to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act with respect to its employee, Joyce Whitaker, under the false assumption that a state law, specifically Wisconsin Act 15, said it didn't have to. Wisconsin Act 15 did not relieve the county of its ADA obligations to its employee, and in no time has the county presented any evidence to the district court or this court stating otherwise.
Well, why should the county be liable for DHS's actions when it had no authority to override DHS's termination decisions?
Well, Your Honor, in this case, as Ms. Whitaker's direct and actual employer, Milwaukee County had federal ADA obligations not to terminate her employment because of her disability and to reasonably accommodate her disability. The state's control as it related to Ms. Whitaker was only related to her employment within the Milwaukee Enrollment Services Unit. At all times, and this is undisputed, Ms. Whitaker was the county's direct and actual employee. As such, it had the ADA obligations to protect its employee by, again, refraining from terminating her employment because of her disability and to reasonably accommodate her disability. At the time of her termination, there were multiple reasonable accommodations available to the county with respect to Ms. Whitaker. For example, it could have provided her with additional leave. It could have refrained from terminating her employment.
Was that something up to the county, though, or up to the state?
It's interesting because the way Wisconsin Act 15 is constructed, what it did is it created the Milwaukee Enrollment Services Unit, over which it placed the Wisconsin Department of Health Services as a supervisor. However, Ms. Whitaker was still, at the end of the day, a county employee.
But weren't the decisions made by the state as opposed to the county?
Your Honor, our stance on that is that there were decisions made by both entities.
What evidence is there that the state, that the county had any control over these decisions with respect to accommodating her?
Your Honor, we don't allege that the county had any control over the decisions made by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. That there was no control between those two. What it had control over was its employee and what happened to its employee. And what I was getting to earlier is that with the Milwaukee Enrollment Services Unit, that's where the control lied for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
So I'm still having trouble. I don't understand how we can find the county liable under joint employer liability when it is undisputed, as you concede, really, that the county had no authority to influence or override DHS's employment decisions.
What it had an obligation to do under federal law was not terminate her employment because of her disability and to reasonably accommodate her.
How could the county have reasonably accommodated her when it didn't have control over those decisions?
Again, by virtue of Wisconsin Act 15, what the state had control over was Ms. Whitaker as it relates to the Milwaukee Enrollment Services Unit. What happens is that she gets terminated from that unit and gets sent back to the county. That's made clear by the state's November 15, 2010 letter to Ms. Whitaker, on which the county was copied and which the county received. In that letter, the state explicitly notes that this is a notice of intent to terminate her employment from the Milwaukee Enrollment Services Unit, to terminate her employment from state service, and to terminate her employment with the state of Wisconsin. At the end, it explicitly states that in the event the state does that, if the state terminates her from the unit that it controls, she goes back into the county system. It explicitly states at the bottom, in the event medical separation is administered, we refer you to Sue Chase, Job Accommodations Coordinator for Milwaukee County. Ms. Chase works with individuals with severe disabilities to seek alternative civil service positions in Milwaukee County governments through an alternative certification process provided by the DECA program.
But that's not the same as supporting that the county could have reasonably accommodated her by, for example, extending her leave.
Its opportunity to accommodate Ms. Whitaker, well, first and foremost, I cannot state it enough that the county had an obligation to its employee to protect that employee. I understand that by virtue of Wisconsin Act 15, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is supervising. But that's still her employee. It still has ADA obligations under federal law to protect that employee. And it didn't do it. And what this accommodation is...
But what if it couldn't? I think that's the question. What if it couldn't because it didn't have the authority to reasonably accommodate her under the statute?
There's nothing in the record, there's nothing in Wisconsin Act 15 that says it does not have that authority. Wisconsin Act 15 is clear that Ms. Whitaker is still a county employee. It explicitly refers to Ms. Whitaker as, refers to Ms. Whitaker and other county employees affected by Wisconsin Act 15 as county employees performing services under this section for the unit. So they're always county employees.
Is there any evidence in the record, though, that the county could have made the decision to extend her leave, which is what you suggested earlier, is a way that they could have reasonably accommodated her?
Your Honor, I argue that under the federal obligations that the county had to its employee, it had an obligation to do it.
But you can't show anything where they have the authority to trump that decision or to reverse that decision, right?
No.
You're just falling back on the statute that, you know, prohibits discrimination against those who have disabilities and that kind of, because you can't find anything. There's no contract, there's no agreement, there's no discussion that says they have the authority to trump or exchange or extend the period.
The power that Milwaukee County had was the powers that are vested in every employer. And again, the state only controlled her as it related to the Milwaukee Enrollment Services Unit. And what I was alluding to earlier is that upon her termination from the Milwaukee Enrollment Services Unit, as a county employee, she's still with the county. Despite that termination from the unit, she's still in the county.
The county could send her somewhere else.
What was that? I'm sorry.
The county could send her somewhere else if there was a need, right?
Well, and that was part of what the state was saying in this November 15, 2010 letter, is that, you know, Ms. Whitaker, you know, we're the state. If we do this to you, you go back to the county, mm-hmm. you go into this job relocation program, which is what they're referring to. Mm-hmm. This program gives you 6 months. You get 6 months of additional leave. The county works with you to find you a new position within the county. So that the state outlined this explicit accommodation in this letter proves that it's still the county's employee that it has a duty to accommodate. That despite what happens with Ms. Whitaker in the unit, it's still the county's employee.
What happened was, you know, she's no longer in the unit, and so now the county can help her find a position, and she can go to some other place, some other unit, work somewhere else.
Correct. And it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't do anything. It essentially just terminated her employment. We can't speculate as to what exactly it did, but the state says, look,
terminate her employment? Is there any evidence that she actually went to the county to try to get something else?
There was no communication between, that we're aware of, or that's in the record, there was no communication between the county and Ms. Whitaker subsequent to her termination from the unit.
So she didn't follow up on what was offered in the letter? Or there's no evidence of that?
There's no evidence of that happening. What we do know is that she did subsequently receive unemployment benefits from the county, and she remains eligible for a pension from the county. But no, despite the accommodations that were available to the county as the employer, and despite its ADA obligations, once the state terminates her out of the unit...
So your position would be that she's under no obligation, as Judge St. Eve said, raise this point, she's under no obligation to follow up and see if the county has another position for her.
The county was put on notice of the accommodation that was necessary by virtue of its receipt of the November 15, 2010 letter. That should have triggered the county's duty to accommodate her by providing her with
And
that
so
program.
What authority do you have or case law do you have that supports that? That the mere fact that she was terminated by them creates that duty by the county?
I wouldn't, Your Honor, so far say it was the termination that did that. It was the notice in the letter itself.
Or that the notice, or any authority that says that getting that notice is sufficient to create an obligation on the part of the county.
Right. Your Honor, it's not coming to mind at the second. I apologize.
And it's nothing in your brief to support that.
Right. We did not address that specific point, Your Honor. But the notice was received from the state's November 15, 2010 letter stating that the action was being taken due to Ms. Whitaker's continuing medical condition for which she had exhausted her FMLA benefit, etc. So the state copy, again, the state copies the county on this letter. The county acknowledges it receives this letter. It's apprised of what's going on here. Its employee is being fired because she has a disability that's disallowing her to return to work at that point in time. It has noticed that its employee is going to be terminated because of her disability. And in fact, the state does go forward with that termination based on her disability. And that notice was provided to the county via a letter dated November 30th, 2010, from the state to Ms. Whitaker, again, on which the county was copied and the county received a copy of.
So let me ask this. Let me try to get at it a different way. What was the basis for Robertson's promises in her notice of termination that the county would extend Whitaker's leave and help her locate a vacant position? Was that based on a policy, a procedure, or a practice of the county?
I can't speculate as to what her reasoning was. What I can say is that this program was maintained by Milwaukee County for the very purpose that is stated in here.
So are not aware of any policy, any procedure, or any practices of the county that existed at the time as it relates to the letter that was received, help her, you know, she could go to the county, get an extension of leave, help her to relocate to a vacant position. You're not familiar with any policy, practice, rules, or procedures in the county that would allow that.
Ms. Whitaker actually herself previously went through this program in 2006. She suffered a workplace injury that caused a disability in 2005. In 2006, as a result of her disability and her inability to perform her previous position, the county placed her into this program. So it's in place for the very purpose of finding new employment for individuals with disabilities who are Milwaukee County employees.
That was also before Wisconsin Act 15 came into place.
Yes, it would have been. However, again, accommodation that was available to the county with respect to Ms. Whitaker, other potential accommodations are available. The county did nothing. And the county has allegations to its employee under the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Okay, you're in your rebuttal time. Do you want to save what's left for rebuttal?
I do, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Ramshaw?
May it please the Court. You may resolve this appeal on different issues, but if you wind up addressing the exhaustion issue, we urge you to state that the district court misapplied Green, that under Green and a number of other cases by this court, there's a two-part rule for whether a claim is within the scope of the charge, and that is the claim reasonably related factually to the allegations in the charge, and would you expect an investigation to cover uncover or address that claim? And here the answer to both those questions is yes, because the charge said I'm out on medical leave. The employer says I have to come back on November 8th, which is five days from now, and I'm medically not able to do that. So that's the same interaction that she's charging in her failure to accommodate claim. That is, I needed more leave, but they wanted me to come back and they didn't give me more leave, and therefore they fired me. It's also it's reasonably related factually. It would be the same events and the same persons, Whitaker and whoever made and enforced that decision. And then the expected investigation would also work here, because an investigator investigating her charge would want to know, well, why did she have to come back on the 8th? Did she ask for more leave? And if so, why was that denied? The facts in Green are quite different. Green's employer fired her for serious misconduct, for falsifying her personnel records in a couple of ways and breaking two other office rules. And all she said in her charge was, I was discharged because of my disability. Then she brings up a failure to accommodate claim based on her chair and the lighting and the parking. And the court understandably says, well, you didn't raise this in your charge. And when they try to figure out why you were fired, which is what your charge is about, that wouldn't come up there either, because they would look at the reasons the employer gave. So if you address the exhaustion claim at all, we urge you to reject the district court's application of Green. Are there any questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Ramshaw. Mr. Carroll?
May it please the court, my name is Jim Carroll. I represent the appellee, Milwaukee County, in this matter. The plaintiff's claims versus Milwaukee County fail because the county was prohibited from taking any meaningful actions related to the appellant plaintiff's employment. Pursuant to 2009 Wisconsin Act 15, the county was essentially placed in a position as a salary and benefits administrator. While the county does not dispute that it remained an employee in name, that was the extent of its role following the implementation of Act 15. In other words, this was a complete state takeover of these Milwaukee County programs.
How do you respond to her argument that the county was her employee, her employer more than a just name, based on the fact that the county provided staff to operate the unit, they compensated her in the form of wages and benefits, they created the job duties and responsibilities? How does that impact your argument?
Your Honor, I don't believe that, well, if I might back up for a second, the analysis that's been set forth in the briefing related to potential joint employment consistently refers to the notion that each case is fact-intensive, that no one factor is determinative. And while there were superficial ways in which the county might still be deemed an employer, all of the relevant control over her day-to-day work, over and in fact over issues like promotion, hiring, demotion, handling grievances, handling discipline, and most notably termination, were exclusively placed in the hands of the state of Wisconsin following the implementation of Act 15.
Well, even if there could have been no way to prevent Whitaker from being removed from the position she was in, why shouldn't the county be held responsible for not placing her in another position in another program?
The county disputes the assertion made or the characterization made by counsel for the plaintiff that following her termination, Ms. Whitaker remained a county employee. And the text of Act 15 does not state that the state has authority to terminate only from that particular unit. There's no evidence in the record that Ms. Whitaker remained an employee of the county, the state, or anyone else once the decision to terminate her was made in November of 2010. And supporting that proposition, if I might refer the court, in the record, in Appendix Q, is an affidavit from the director of the county's job accommodation program named Sue Chase. And Ms. Chase states in her affidavit that Ms. Whitaker was never referred to that job accommodation program, that there was never any contact with her from anyone at the state of Wisconsin DHS.
Was that affidavit filed with the district court as well?
Yes, it was, Your Honor. And furthermore, if I might just continue or conclude that little portion, that Milwaukee County did not have the authority to enroll individuals in that job relocation program. I would also note on that issue, Your Honors, that the final termination letter to which opposing counsel referred on November 30th makes no mention of the job relocation or job accommodation program. I can no more speculate as to Ms. Robertson's thought process than can my opposing counsel, but it is the county's position that it was not able to accommodate Ms. Whitaker at any time during the relevant time frame. I would also point out on that issue, because it was a critical part of the opposing argument, that that program in and of itself would consist of transferring an employee to a different position, and the authority to transfer employees, including Ms. Whitaker, under Act 15 is explicitly assigned to the state of Wisconsin DHS. The other point that I think is important is that these facts have been conceded by the plaintiff, by the appellant in this matter, and I will not certainly read at length from any particular item, but on page 7 of the appellate brief of Ms. Whitaker, in the findings of fact, she concedes DHS controlled work assignments, personnel and medical files, and general working conditions of County Miles employees, including Ms. Whitaker. Also concedes that DHS was responsible, and I'm paraphrasing, for workplace accommodations to the county's Miles employees. The county was not in a position to intervene regarding Ms. Whitaker's termination, and it was not in a position to, under state law, accommodate her, whether via transfer to another position in this job accommodation program or in any other fashion. In fact, Ms. Whitaker, after the implementation of Act 15, but prior to the events that gave rise to her termination, did seek accommodations of disabilities and did so from the state of Wisconsin DHS, which acknowledges that that was the place to go for Ms. Whitaker if she wished to be accommodated. And the fact that she was terminated in her entirety from county employment, and that there's no evidence in the record to the contrary, undermines the plaintiff's argument that the county should have taken action here. It had no power to act pursuant to 2009 Wisconsin Act 15. I would also just note that a number of the cases cited, frankly, by both sides in this matter, refer to temporary agencies. And while those may provide guidance, and certainly the appellee has relied on some of those cases in its briefing, I think there's an important distinction to be drawn in this case between a temporary agency situation and the situation in which we find ourselves here today. With a temporary agency, the parties are transacting at arm's length, presumably for mutual benefit, to jointly control a particular employee and both have some control over that employee's actions. In this case, we had a mandate from the state of Wisconsin to the county of Milwaukee, which guided the relationship between those parties and the employees involved. Further supporting the county's position are the memoranda of understanding that are also in the record, and those can be found in appendixes G and K of the appellate briefs. The memoranda of understanding in this matter, and I think it's important to point out to the court, and I suppose on my part to apologize, because I think both the appellant and the appellee characterize these memoranda of understanding as being between the county and the state, and that is inaccurate. As I think those documents clearly speak for themselves, the memoranda of understanding were between the employees' union that represented people including Ms. Whitaker and the state of Wisconsin. And in looking at those memoranda of understanding, and again, I won't exhaustively quote. The first is from March of 2009, and specifically on its first page refers to the transitioning of the management and control of Milwaukee income maintenance and child care subsidy functions, and I will not go on. It also, and I think this is important, notes that the terms of this memorandum of understanding, to the extent they're in conflict with the pre-existing collective bargaining agreement, will trump that collective bargaining agreement. So this to me, both memoranda of understanding are indicative of the extent to which DHS took over, in every important sense, the control of employees, including Ms. Whitaker. I would also briefly address the supremacy clause argument that the appellant raised in this case. The county does not believe that the supremacy clause is implicated because there is no conflict between the Americans with Disabilities Act and Act 15. To the contrary, the Americans with Disabilities Act Act 15 provided Ms. Whitaker with a means of addressing accommodation issues or other issues under the ADA. It simply provided that her remedy was to address those issues via DHS, as she did, as the record shows, she did, rather than with Milwaukee County. Unless your honors have any further questions, I believe that is all that I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time? 1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to reiterate again that Milwaukee County was the undisputed employer of Ms. Whitaker, with the corresponding obligations under federal law to protect her employment as an individual with a disability and to reasonably accommodate her as an employee with a disability. The county has repeatedly stated it has no authority, but it has never pointed to anything or provided any evidence to district court or this court explaining how it didn't have that authority. It's mere statements. It's pointed to Wisconsin Act 15, but Wisconsin Act 15, while reiterating that Ms. Whitaker is a county employee, says nothing about accommodation, and it says nothing about any sort of implications or interplay with the Americans with Disabilities Act. As such, there's nothing in the Act that relieved the county of its ADA obligations to its employee, and those obligations are under federal law. And again, going back to the Supremacy Clause that was raised by counsel, there is a conflict, because here the county is saying that a state law said it didn't have to comply with federal law.
Thank you, Mr. Wilczewski.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll take the case under advisement, and the fourth.